Welcome back to Trill MBA. This is the Takeover Series with Attorney Anitra. We are in legal therapy. You know, there was a time when I thought I was way too soft to become an attorney. I've talked with you guys about my story and that hesitation that I had about going to law school and even being a part of this profession. It just seemed so aggressive. And after taking a Strength Finders assessment, it seemed like all of my top strengths made me a cuddly, nerdy teddy bear. And I know we have a tendency, especially working in corporate America, to feel like I'm just not cut out for this environment. Not that I can't hang, but I value my peace. And when people come at you sideways with all that aggression and you respond likewise, you're the one labeled as angry, particularly as Black women. We're the angry Black women, right? Have you ever thought to yourself that I'm just not sure this is for me? Well, I wanted to talk to you today and tell you that I see you. And not only do I see you, by the end of this episode, I want you to be able to confidently say that about everybody in the workplace. I see you. Nothing you do surprises me. And I have a game plan from the very beginning of how I'm going to conduct myself and deal with you, no matter how you come at me. Let's go ahead and unpack that. So this episode is for the corporate warriors who want to max their careers out, right? Go hard. You've been educated. You've done the hard work to get to where you are. But now it's time to actually reap the benefits of that, and you are not afraid of the work. At the same time, you value your peace. And when there are problems that arise in the workplace, you are not the kind of person to act like a lot of our backgrounds would suggest that we act like, right? You're willing to keep it professional. You believe in it. That's your value system. But what happens in a workplace is violence. You work with people who woke up and chose violence on that day. And so let's go ahead and prepare ourselves on how to navigate these tricky environments. When we usually approach these situations, our first instinct is to be as aggressive as the person coming at us is being. Like I mentioned earlier, this typically does not go well for us. But I'm here to tell you, you don't have to do that. You don't have to be caught off guard either. You don't have to be like Pollyanna going into the workplace thinking everything is going to be perfect. There's a way for you to prepare yourself for a fight if there is one, while at the same time not being the one to cause any beef. And that's what I really want to prepare you guys to do today. I think we can all agree that we're not scared. Going into the workplace and standing up for ourselves, we're not afraid to do it per se. We just know that there are usually repercussions for us when we do it. Instead of HR or our supervisors having our backs, usually the tables get turned on us. And that's where the apprehension and the hesitation comes from. You know there's going to be retaliation. So when you finally do speak up, you're almost guaranteed to be in a situation where you're going to have to fight. So I want to prepare you so that when that situation arises, the timing works in your favor and the evidence works in your favor as well. I've heard one of the most extreme cases of this, an audio clip from one of my clients. She was speaking to HR. My client's voice was flat. She was clearly not happy, but she wasn't yelling, raising her voice. She had one tone throughout the conversation. And the HR representative accused her of being abrasive and started yelling at her. Like whenever we are displeased with something, if we're not happy-go-lucky and just willing to make everybody else around us comfortable, immediately we are looked at as the aggressors. But that doesn't mean that we can't stand up for ourselves. I just want to prepare you to be able to do that more strategically. So this is how we get there. And if we dig into the history of the law a little bit, we actually find that our soft skills are really going to be helpful and really central in having our backs. That's because when it comes to the topic of discrimination, there has always been so much emotion wrapped around it that the law hasn't been able to explain it by itself. The law has built into it human predictability. Social science is built into how we actually maneuver through employment discrimination cases. I can prove it this way. So we all talk about Brown versus Board of Education. And I've even heard many lament that perhaps this was not a decision in our favor because it introduced integration. And when we lost the unity of our community from segregation, we lost a lot of our advantages in this country. And on one hand, there is a disadvantage to not having a very strong Black community, but it's always been my position that whenever we have to be in a situation where you have to take away our rights just for us to get along, that's not a position of strength. And Brown, in the background, was running off of the same idea. It was supposed to be a pure equal protection argument. But what was actually happening in the background of Brown versus Board of Education that was decided in 1954 was social science. The baby doll test was something that researchers had put into place. And once the council, like Thurgood Marshall, found out about it, they used the research to help prove their point. And what the baby doll test was, what these researchers put white dolls and Black dolls in front of little Black children and little white children. Unsurprisingly, when they asked the little white children which doll was good and which doll was bad, the white children identified the white dolls as being good and the Black dolls as being bad. But the results were pretty much identical when they asked the little Black children. So the idea that being separated, being segregated, was causing an inferiority complex really became the foundation of the argument that the Supreme Court ultimately agreed with and unanimously made a law that separate could never be equal. Social science. So when we look at this idea that an inferiority complex, as can be pretty predictable if we keep people apart, then we start to understand that going forward and making just purely legal arguments is something that our country struggles with. And it had to start talking more about what humans were likely to think and not likely to think in order for us to get any real work done legally. Well, employment discrimination is thought of as that decision in Brown, plus the Civil Rights Act of 1964, specifically Title VII, that deals with employment. The Civil Rights Act was passed 10 years after Brown because for 10 years, this country, state after state, refused to agree with that ruling and get behind integration. That's why we have the stories of our heroines like Ruby Bridges, who was sent to elementary school in New Orleans, was the first young Black girl to begin the integration there in 1960. It takes 10 years, and two things happen to really precipitate the Civil Rights Act of 1964 coming into law. The first thing that happened was in September of 1963, and that was the bombing of 16th Street Baptist Church. Four little girls died. One little girl was seriously injured. And ultimately, a splinter group of the KKK was found to be responsible. At the time, President JFK, John F. Kennedy Jr., was a huge proponent of comprehensive legislation for civil rights. And it got a lot of pushback on it, and it was not happening in Congress. But after that bombing, and a few months later, JFK Jr. himself was assassinated, then Congress decided to do something about civil rights. So, in 1964, the very next year, the law was passed, including Title VII, which they thought that it should not have passed because at the last minute, the inclusion of sex, gender, was placed in the law. And that was almost sure to sink it. And surprise, surprise, it passed. So when we think of our laws today, Brown versus Board of Education, plus Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, in the background are all of these social experiences that go into how we decipher this law. I say all of that to say it would be a mistake for us to go into the workplace and simply rely on black letter law and think you're going to be protected. That is not the way the laws came into place, and it's not how they're decided today. You have to build a clear story from beginning to end in order for your point to come across and fit into the available law. So your story has to come first. The human, the social experience has to really show through, and then we have the law to back it up. I had a case once that had multiple people in it. It wasn't quite a class action. We didn't have enough people for that, but it was a group case. And I began to teach my clients how to gather evidence while they were still at work. And it was painstaking. We'd get on these conference calls. Zoom wasn't a thing back then. And I would teach them step by step on how to put together this case. And we were capturing all these really predictable, but very human experiences of what they were going through. And I would put them in my binder. And so when it came time for the mediation, the other side showed up with like multiple like boxes, like all these banker boxes, as if they had like all of this information against us. And I had this binder of very carefully curated evidence that had showed my clients how to gather. Well, I kept opposing counsel and the mediator at the EEOC, at the EEOC's office. I kept them there until midnight because every time they tried to pull out something, which they were not getting from these boxes, I would have a very specific piece of evidence to rebut it. So even though I had my one folder and they had all these boxes, our evidence painted the story and we settled a little after midnight. So I want to go through and show you what you can do to completely change the game so that you see what's going on in a workplace as it's unfolding. You are no longer going to be caught off guard. And the change that I want you to go through is that I want you to enter each and every single opportunity, each and every single position that you have. I want you to enter it knowing it could go left at any moment. And not be surprised by it. Disappointed, sure. Hurt, of course. Angry, you bet. But I want you to be able to confidently say, I see you. I see what you're doing. I know your tricks. And none of it surprises me. I'm disappointed by it. But it doesn't surprise me. Again, we're going to use social science to do this. You may have heard of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Well, I've taken that as a social science theory and I've translated it into the employment context. So there are what I call five pieces to the hierarchy of employee needs. So this is our hierarchy of employee needs. And what I want you to do is take notes because I want you to create a binder. And I want you to have five sections to your binder. And each of the sections corresponds to one of your needs in the workplace. So your very first need is pay. So I want you to put these pieces of information in this section. The job post, or maybe the email that they send you inviting you to apply to the job, the actual job description, any other correspondences about the job, setting up the interview, your offer letter, and a contract if that's applicable. Okay. Because at the most basic level, you need to be paid for what you do. The Fair Labor Standards Act is a federal law that says that you have to pay people. And as well, you know, an amendment to the Constitution actually says you can't enslave people anymore. But you have to get paid for what you do. So get all that information and put it in that section. The second section and your second need is policy. Policy. This is what supposedly keeps you safe in the workplace. So this is where I want you to put the employee handbook, any agreements that you've signed, and any of the additional policies that might come through email or what have you. During this pandemic, there have been a lot of updates to workplace policies that are not actually attached to the handbook yet. So make sure you gather all of that and put it in your policy section of your binder. Your next need in the next section is partners. Partners. Studies show that, especially for women, if you have at least one workplace best friend, you are exponentially more likely to stay on that job. So I want you to begin collecting three areas of partners. First, I want you to make a running list of all your friends in a workplace. Then I want you to make a list of all of your foes, like your enemies. People who you feel in your gut just might not be there for you. And if they could get you out of there, might be the people behind that plan. And lastly, I want you to make a list of family. Family in a workplace, that would be people who have your same or similar job. And there can be some overlap here. There could be people who are your foes and family, or there can be people who are your friends and family. But make sure you know who your family is in a workplace. Why? Because if a case pops off, you're going to need to tell the EEOC and maybe even the courts one day, who are your comparators? When you're comparing who's being treated better than you, you need to know who was in a job position similar to yours. And so that's why we keep a running list of family. So that's your third section, partners. The fourth section and your fourth need is progress. Progress. This is where I want you to keep all of your performance reviews, all the opportunities that are coming across your desk to join committees or maybe even apply for other jobs, any of your training. And also, if they start writing you up, even those little snarky emails, I want you to start putting it in your progress section of your binder. Because later, you're going to have to prove that you are performing your job duties satisfactorily in order to win any kind of employment case, for the most part. So I want you to keep track of that ahead of time. And lastly, I want you to create a section called purpose. That's your fifth need, purpose. This is where you put information about the company's vision and your vision as well for being there. Because I want you to always keep in mind what this job is supposed to look like for you. How is your life supposed to unfold? Having a job is like being on a road trip. It's a destination. There's some place that you want to go, and there's an experience that you want to have. Always keep that in the forefront, because as Maslow says, you know, this idea of self-actualization, that's our last human need. And that plays out in the workplace as well. And so what happens when we go through employment discrimination issues, people will often call attorneys after the pay gets taken away. So that need is no longer being met. But as we go through the facts, we notice that there were issues when it came to policy, there were issues when it came to partners, and there was definitely issues when it came to progress. So if you can keep all this in line and you understand what's happening, you can say, I see you. I can see how you didn't include me in your company vision. I bought into it, but it didn't include me. I see you. I see how you gave opportunities to these other people in my family and this job, but you didn't give those same opportunities to me. When you start using this system, you will be able to see their attacks from a mile away instead of waiting until you get to pay being taken away and then deciding that you need help. Listen, sis, I know you took that job because you knew you were good at what you did. I see you. I know you thought that you could make friends and you could climb that ladder. Girl, I see you. And I know you go to work every day working out of your zone of excellence and your zone of genius. Girl, I see you. I've been there too. But I also see the predictability of humans and how that's been embedded even in our laws. That over and over, in this country in particular, it's been shown that when they have an opportunity to do right, most employers don't. And so there needed to be a way to hold them accountable. And not even a landmark decision like Brown versus the Board of Education was enough to knock this country into a place of doing what's right. And so the Civil Rights Act of 1964 had to come. So I want you to be able to say very confidently, you see them. I see you. I see you. We can build better cases if you see them coming from a mile away. This is Attorney Anitra, and this has been Legal Therapy. Next time, we're going to kick it up a notch. Now that you have the basics and you know how to set everything up from the very beginning, I'm going to give you some strategy for when things really start to pop off in a workplace so that you are always in control. Until next time, this has been The Takeover with Trill MBA. Peace.
The Trill MBA Show is a Fair World Corp. LLC production. Executive produced by Felicia and Rose Inuha. Sound design and editing by Chris Mann with Podshaper. Theme music is Kick Push by Ryan Little. Keep it trill every day, y'all.